Are you a busy woman who at times struggles with reducing your daily stress? Do you know that you need to slow down but do not know how? If you're looking at reducing your daily stress, you're in the right place. My name is Denise Eckert and I welcome you to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. I just love interviewing guests so they can share their stress-reducing tips and techniques with you. Now, if you find this podcast helpful, please share it with someone who struggles with stress. Because lowering our stress will make us a better person, a happier partner, mom, friend, neighbor, etc. And the best part is happiness is contagious. Enjoy this episode. Hi, it's Denise Eckert. I love coming on here and talking about reducing the stress in your life. Because you know what? Living in stress can do a lot of damage to our bodies, our mental health, our relationships, everything. And today I've got Kimberly Keene, who's a holistic life coach and healer. And she helps women break free from their past so they can step into their light. So welcome, Kimberly.
Thank you so much for having me, Denise.
So what inspired you to do this work?
My own journey, actually. The long story short was that I thought I was having an identity crisis because I left my teaching career after only 6 years. And I thought I was going to teach until I was in my 90s and they were going to have to force me to retire. And I went to therapy because I was having not the greatest thoughts about life with out of teaching career and not loving being a stay-at-home mom. And I naively went there thinking that she was going to say, no problem, Kim, you're having an identity crisis. Here are the three easy ways to fix it. And it was the exact opposite of that. So in the 2 years that I worked with her, it was dredging up a lot of things from the past, childhood trauma, generational trauma, things from domestic violence that I thought that I had worked through. And her fix was, well, you just need antidepressants and anti-anxiety meds, and then you're going to be just fine. And I already saw myself as a failure and couldn't allow myself to take the medication. I'm not opposed to it. I just couldn't allow myself to do that. And so that was when I started diving into more holistic ways to work through the anxiety that I didn't really realize I had, the codependency that I was experiencing, and the childhood emotional neglect. And it was through those holistic modalities where I said, therapy isn't really working for me. So let me go and try these holistic things and life coaching. And that was really the magic sauce that got me through that difficult time.
And that's amazing because it's amazing how trauma just sneaks into your life all the time. Eh? And I find you've got these triggers that, so what helped you? Was it creating awareness or working on different things, or how did the holistic approach help you?
Yeah. So I will say in some level, therapy gave me the awareness piece, but her strategy, she was like, well, if you're not going to take the medicine, and she gaslighted me a lot about the medication. She was like, if you're being codependent, you can carry invisible scissors in your pocket and cut the strings of codependency before they attach, or spray yourself with invisible cooking spray so that the codependency can't stick to you. And I thought, what in the world is she talking about? I don't even know when I'm being codependent. So how can I use these invisible things? And I, at that time, didn't even really know what visualization was. So I was like, how in the world does any of this work? And so it was the awareness piece, but I was so stuck in the labels of codependency, anxiety, childhood emotional neglect. And I went and had a Reiki session at a holistic mind, body, spirit festival. And I went there thinking I was going to learn about yoga and meditation, not knowing anything about Reiki, crystals, tarot cards, any of that. So needless to say, I was eyes wide open. And when I had my first Reiki session, I felt light. I mean, that was really the only way I could explain it, was that I felt different, but I didn't know why. And so I started going for Reiki sessions more regularly, and I could feel the negativity, the weight of it fading away, but I still had to work through the mindset aspect of the codependency and the anxiety and the childhood emotional neglect and all of those things that now were like full on in my awareness that I didn't know existed prior to working with the therapist. And so that was really the gift of doing the Reiki, using crystals. It was helping with the energetic piece, but then I still needed the mindset piece. And that was where coaching came in, because I learned what a recipe of a pattern is. I learned the things that I could control. I learned about emotional needs, and I could see how those things really, I didn't have the awareness of those. And that's where I was getting hooked. And so once I had those puzzle pieces too, it really did come together. It did come together quite beautifully. and I could actually start feeling myself making more progress and being able to handle stress more easily and not allowing triggers to send me into such a deep spiral that they would have sent me into the spiral in the past. And I really didn't stay long in the stress of it or the dysfunction of it or the negativity of it. So that was really where I was like, oh my gosh, why didn't I know about this 3 years ago? Because once I had those pieces, I'll say the change and the transformation was much more rapid. It was definitely a lot faster.
Yeah, it's amazing what once you create that awareness, what comes to light. Mm-hmm. So for anybody listening, can you explain what codependency is?
Yes. So for me, codependency is really where you take on someone else's emotions at the sacrifice of your own emotions. Didn't realize that that was something that I had learned from my grandmother and my mom. But once I had the awareness of what codependency was, then it was like glaring in my face, like, oh, duh, of course, this is why I do the things I do. But so I would, you know, pick up the phone immediately when my parents called. And granted, I was in my 30s because I didn't want to disappoint them or let them down or have them upset that I didn't answer the phone, even though it wasn't a good time for me to talk and I didn't want to talk. So I was kind of self-sacrificing just to make sure that everybody else around me was happy, content, their needs were met. They weren't disappointed in me. They weren't angry with me. They weren't thinking negatively about me because in my mind, that was what was expected of me.
Yeah. And you mentioned recipe of pattern. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So a recipe of a pattern is basically there. I've heard it explained the way that I learned it when I was going through coaching is sort of complex. And so I heard someone else explain it in a more simple way. So I'll go with a more simple approach, but basically a circumstance happens. And so when that happens, we have a thought and then that thought creates a feeling and then we act and then we respond to that sequence of steps. And so a lot of the times we have the thought and the feeling, and it's almost an unconscious thing that's happening. And so when we have that sequence of steps happen, we basically create a meaning either about ourselves or about a certain situation. And so that response, every time that thing triggers us and we go through that sequence, it reaffirms that meaning that we've created. And so it becomes this habitual thing, which then eventually becomes part of our identity. And we see that as who we are when it's really not. It's just a pattern that we're running.
And now how do you change that?
So that's the tricky part, because first you have to have the awareness that you're running that pattern. And so really it's about shifting the meaning that you create for that pattern. So in the moment we think like, okay, I'm gathering all of this evidence that makes this thing true, but really it's not true. And so it's, I'll say, selectively true. So when we can actually find the evidence to debunk it, it allows us to create that space to create a new meaning.
Now, are there any steps that you can take to do this?
Yeah. So really when I'm going through it in my own journey, or when I'm taking a client through it, we like basically map it out and we use a situation that they've experienced in the past that's really quite familiar to them. So for instance, let's just say that you like have an adult child, you're an adult person who has an adult child, and you call that child or you text that child and they don't respond to you. And so then you make this meaning about, oh, you know, the thoughts are there, like, oh, they don't love me, they're too busy for me. You know, we're not like other families. Why can't we be like other families? And then this meaning that's created that you basically don't matter and you're not loved. And so really when we can sort of interject that and say, is it true that you don't matter? Is it true that you're not loved? No. Could it be that they're busy at work? You've got them at a bad time. Could it be that they're on the phone with someone else? Could it be that they just got slammed with a work project? So when we can insert these things that say, oh, is it 100% true that they don't love me because they're not answering my call or my text? No, it's not 100% true. Is it 100% true that I don't matter to them because they didn't answer my call or text? No, it's not 100% true. So it gives us a space to allow a different thought to take hold and just to have this recognition that they're probably just busy and they'll call back when they get a chance. But if it happens a lot, then it's sort of reaffirms like, oh, they're too busy for me and I don't matter. No, they just have their own existence and they're trying their best to fit you in when they can. So it could be that they're just stressed themselves and aren't great at managing their own time. So just having that awareness that it's really not about you, that they're also having their own struggle too.
And it sounds like you're also struggling with a little bit of limiting beliefs that you're not worthy of the call, mm-hmm. or along that line as well. Now, how do you change that story?
So really changing the story is about looking at those pieces and finding the evidence where you can justify, like, no, I do matter because I matter to myself. I matter to my friends. I matter to my spouse or my partner. I matter to my other kids. I matter to my pets. Because ultimately pets love us unconditionally. You get home after a long day of work, or even if just running up to the store for 10 minutes, you come back and they're like, oh my God, it's like, I haven't seen you in 30 years. So just recognizing all of the people that you do matter to, it helps to change that narrative. But I think the biggest thing that I feel is really important is that not relying on that external validation from others to know that you do matter or that you are worthy, being able to validate yourself first. Because at the end of the day, we're the only ones that are going to be there consistently for ourselves. So trying to get your needs met of being significant or worthy through other people, those are other people and relationships are vehicles and they're not always guaranteed. So I like to say that when we can get our needs met from others, that's just really an added bonus. But if we can start doing it for ourselves initially, it sometimes can take that sting out because we recognize that we can do it for ourselves and we don't have to be reliant on others.
Do you work with men and women or both?
My client base is primarily women, because that seems to be who I attract, since that was my own journey, was a woman, a mom who was working to heal her own trauma. So right now my client base is primarily women, although I have had people say like, oh my gosh, you know, my son. And lately it's been like, oh my gosh, my son needs you because he just went through this really unhealthy relationship with a woman. And because I've been in an abusive relationship before, they're like, you would be perfect because you understand both sides of the puzzle. So perhaps I will start working with men, but right now it's mostly women.
And do you find as a woman, there's extra challenges or unique challenges that we have?
I do, because I feel like women, we put so much pressure on ourselves to be able to have it all figured out and do it all. And we don't really give ourselves the space to make mistakes and to recognize that we are not failures if we can't do it all, and that it's okay to rely on others for help. I think we have this skewed perception of what women are actually supposed to be able to manage in one day, let alone a week, a month, or a year. I mean, I think part of that is social media. We see other women who are sharing their highlight reels and making it seem as though they have it all together, when in reality, they're really struggling too. They're not showing you the side of the struggle. So I think that's really a challenge that's really primarily unique to women, because I know a lot of men, they don't put that pressure on themselves. And they know at the end of the day that they can rely on their partner or their spouse to help them carry the weight of the burden. And they don't feel guilty about that. Where women, we do feel horribly guilty, like, oh, you know, I'm letting my husband down, or I'm letting my partner down. If I can't do this all by myself, I should be able to do all these things. And if I can't, there's something wrong. And that's so not the case.
And you know what? I've always told people, like, do your to-do list and take a serious look at it. And could one person do all these things on your to-do list? Or do you need to clone yourself 3 or 4 times? And we do as women, we have that fear that we're letting people down. We have that fear, and it makes us feel guilty. And we're failures that we don't get all this done. And it's so hard to change that and create that awareness. And I love that you're talking about it, because it's so important.
Go ahead. When we give ourselves the permission to let go of some things, it allows us to create the space for what we really want in our lives, in terms of for ourselves, but our relationships with our children, our relationships with our partners and our spouses and friends and other family members. I think it shifts our perspective of what really matters. Because at the end of the day, like you said, we get bogged down in these to-do lists, and most of the things on the list don't really matter at all.
Yeah. For someone that's listening right now and they recognize these behaviors and these patterns, what are some of the practices that they can start doing? Like, is it journaling, or is it just sitting in quiet and reflecting? What are some of the practices that you recommend to start the change?
Yeah. So I think journaling is really important because it allows you to get what's in your mind out of there and onto paper. The little asterisk to journaling is that sometimes we just get it out, but then we don't do anything with it. And so we just, even though it's out on this piece of paper, we still are thinking about it and stewing on it. And it doesn't, we're not using the information that's on that piece of paper that we've just taken the time to express, to use it to look and have the awareness of like, okay, is this, yep, this is the same struggle I'm having the day before and the day before and the day before and the day before. What am I going to do to make the change so that this stops haunting me on a day-to-day basis? But with that being said, I do think journaling is important because it's a safe place to get your thoughts out and be able to take a look at them objectively to see what is that same pattern, that same habit, that same situation that just keeps happening over and over and over. I think meditation is really important. And a lot of people say, oh my gosh, I can't meditate because I can't turn my brain off. There's no way I can sit for even 2 minutes in silence. And so the thing that I always say is that it's really not about sitting in silence. And our brains are not meant to stop thinking. That's what our brains are wired to do. They're wired to think. And so it's really just about acknowledging the thoughts as they come up and just letting them pass without judgment. And so when someone is starting with meditation, I just say, set the timer on your phone for 2 minutes and just focus on feeling the breath coming in and out of your nose on your upper lip. Or you can focus on feeling your stomach rise and fall as you inhale and exhale. And so that was actually what I used to start my meditation journey. But that's really great because it helps with managing the stress and when we're feeling overwhelmed and triggered, and you can breathe anywhere. But the other thing too that was really helpful when I first started my journey was actually going to a holistic practitioner and a life coach. So I always said, oh my gosh, I wish I had gone to a life coach at the start of my journey instead of almost 3 years in, because that would have expedited without a doubt how long it took me to get to the point of feeling like I actually had made change and transformed the limiting beliefs and the negative self-talk into something less negative and something more positive. So that's really the beginning things that you can do. And if a life coach isn't really something that you feel like you can do initially, you can use EFT tapping. There are a lot of great resources online that are free, or you can look for a practitioner to help. But that's also really great because it helps to work with the mindset piece and reframing the limiting beliefs.
Yeah, I love EFT as well. And I'm going to be launching a mobile app, which has many different relaxation practices on it. So it's something in someone's back pocket just to get them to step back a little bit and calm the mind down and just relax so that you can think. Because a lot of times when we act out, especially if we're feeling stressed, we don't make the positive choices that we should be making.
Yeah.
I understand you have a workshop. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yes. Yeah, so it's an EFT workshop. And so T, for anyone who's not really familiar with it, is emotional freedom technique. And so it's basically acupressure and statement reframing. So it's a little bit of acupressure and it's a little bit of NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming. And so you're reworking the thoughts and the phrases that you have to help mitigate and reduce the negative experience and the negative emotions around something that triggers you or that feels traumatic, so that you can create something more positive and almost make that negative situation neutral. So it doesn't affect you as much as it did in the past. And so when you're tapping, it's about using specific pressure points and phrases. And so in my workshop, it's borrowed benefits because everybody in the workshop comes together because they want to work through something that is stressing them out or something that's causing them to feel anxious. And so the phrases that I use in the workshop are just, I'll say, generic enough to where everybody can relate to the phrase that's being used, but it allows everybody to work on their own stressor or their own anxiety point so that they can move through it. And so in the last workshop that I offered, I had someone who was feeling stressed out because she was getting ready to fly and she has horrible flying anxiety when she has to get on an airplane. Someone else was feeling stressed out because they felt like a longtime friend that they had was drifting away and there was some exclusion happening. And then there was also a participant who is caring for a grandparent who's in their 90s and still trying to care for her children who are much younger. And so there was stress around there, being able to navigate the caring of all of those beings in her house. Despite the fact that everybody has something different that they're working through, everybody was able to reduce the negativity around the situation that they were experiencing so that at the end of the workshop, they felt like they could move forward with more ease.
Awesome. Okay, so we're going to wrap this up. So Kimberly, do you have wise words of wisdom for the audience today?
Yes. So basically know that you are not alone in this journey. And oftentimes we do feel like we're the only ones who are struggling and suffering with stress and anxiety and trauma. But there are so many other people who are experiencing it too. So don't hesitate to reach out for support so you don't have to go through the journey alone. And just know that it's almost like, I hate to say a normal part of life, but it's that indicator that like you're actually living life. And so if you didn't have the bumps in the roads and the stressors, that means that you're not really fully showing up for yourself and others. So yes, it's going to happen. It's okay, but you have the strength and the ability to move through it. And it's only going to make you stronger in the end.
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Kimberly. Great information. And I will be posting wherever you're watching or listening to this. I'll be posting the information on the workshop and Kimberly's contact information. So if you have any questions, reach out, ask her. So thank you so much for your time today. It was great.
Oh my gosh, thank you. It was so wonderful.
And now just leaving you a gentle reminder to slow down and enjoy life. And I'll see you in the next episode. Thank you for listening to the Calm Your Daily Stress podcast. Have you ever wondered what your stress personality is? Are you a self-care goddess or a burnout queen? Well, you can find out by taking my free quiz. You just need to go to www.stressquiz.info to find out where you rank. Sending you love and peace, and I'll see you in the next episode.